The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Spain, Israel Gutierrez, Kevin Black, and Stone Pablo Torre. The perfect game from Buffalo to knock out Belichick. Brady Mahomes, greatness. A whistle that shouldn't be, that wasn't for Cincinnati's first one in 30 years. But nothing could prepare us for the most bonkers ending in recent NFL memory. The Cowboys blew this game a million different ways. Penalties, sun, scoreboard. The last play call. Not knowing the rule, but also any part of you thinking this game swung on the speed of a referee, whether he runs at 5-5-40 or not, and has to touch and spot the ball? How to talk about this game? You guys ready? Are you ready? Wait, I'm not in position. Wait, no, it's over here. No, it's over here. How about them Horners? Let's go around the horn.
Get the chains out.
Yeah, measure that.
America's team indeed.
Is there a ref combine, actually?
I could use that. Good television.
It's like anything else. Do you want to be running a Hail Mary play from the 50-yard line, or you want to be running five verticals from the 25-yard line? So that's the decision. It's the right decision.
It's the right decision. Mike McCarthy making it clear. It was his call. It's what he wanted to do. He thought it would work. Let's talk about the play call first. Dak's run. Then we'll get to the involvement of the referee after that. Sarah. Is McCarthy purposely calling a running play with 14 seconds left and no timeouts in any way understandable here? Or is it bad? Or is it so bad it's a fireable offense? Or is it Dak Prescott's fault that he took so many yards? Please, what was this?
Well, first of all, I just want to say, since you pointed out the official speed, there are Cowboys players that are not yet back in position when the ref gets there and has to fight through the box outs to get the ball. So that is just one of the many ways that they did not execute this. Mike McCarthy could tell us all he wants that they practice this every Friday and Saturday. But if that's the case, that's terrible leadership and coaching because they messed up every part of it. Dak ran for too long. The Cowboys didn't hustle back as if it was what Dan Orlovsky calls a 9-1-1 play where you got to come back in. The center is handling the ball and Dak is handling the ball when they know the official has to get it. They're not even lined up at the spot that he was downed. All of this is done incorrectly. So even if they had the time, even if they had two more seconds, they might still not have pulled it off. And yet everyone you've heard from who's a former player says you need at least 16 seconds for this. So the play call was wrong and the execution was even worse.
Other than that, I love the play. Yes. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
It's almost as if McCarthy's reputation for bad clock management is justified because, yeah, he does stuff like this. The rest of the NFL world will tell you, hey, it's 15 or 16 seconds. 16 seems to be the number most people are in agreement with. But you, Mike McCarthy, says, no, I'm going to do it my way and run it running play at 14 seconds. The best possible scenario is if you would have communicated in that situation, hey, go down a couple seconds earlier than we've practiced on Friday and Saturday, and maybe you can get this off properly. But to say that, hey, I'm going to do this and this is going to be the way, I just don't see it. And frankly, you know, again, he has that reputation. So this just pile it on to the, you know, to everything else and all the other examples.
Kevin Blackstone, I'll bring you in here. Any way this play call is understandable and it was risky, but understandable?
Well, you know, just before the play, Romo Stradamus said that the 49ers have to stop giving the Cowboys the outside, right? The down and outs. And what he should do, and he said every team would do it at this point, is to line guys up on the sidelines and let you know that you're not getting that again. And if we get you, we're gonna throw you down the middle of the field and kill the game. So I thought the play was fine. And I agree with McCarthy's explanation.
Okay.
The problem wasn't the play. The problem was, as Sarah said, it was the execution. They executed executed themselves with the play. If you know that you can only you only have 14 seconds, then don't run for 13 seconds. Just run for 10 seconds. The point was just to get closer so that you could run verticals or crossing patterns so you didn't have to try and go back to 1975 and have a Hail Mary play bail you out of a play.
Well, there it is, all right? This is the team that, for all intents and purposes, invented the Hail Mary in football. And they could have run two. Would that have been more understandable, Pablo, than running the QB draw
here? Of course, it would have been more understandable to do that. But if you want to talk about football history, let's talk about this. There have been about 25 years to this point where they've tracked play-by-play data. In a playoff game, with 20 seconds or fewer left, down one score, you know how many teams have called a running play? Zero until Mike McCarthy. No one has ever done this for the reasons that I think Sarah outlined at the top of this segment. And so for me, Tony, yes, is it possible that Mike McCarthy wanted to outsmart everybody? I mean, I guess it's possible, but the reality seems to me that there was a call that was actually made by Dak Prescott, by the way, that Mike McCarthy had to sort of own on behalf of everybody. Like, that to me is the biggest defense of McCarthy, actually. The wide receivers looked like they didn't know what was happening, which tells me that this may have been Dak's call, and therefore McCarthy was being a good coach by taking the blame, which is better than he did in any other circumstance.
Well, let's just add on to the history and all those incredible numbers you had, Pablo Torre, which I love. We've all seen end-of-game scenarios before. We've seen the clock run out on teams before, but have you ever seen a team waiting on the line and being ostensibly ready to go, but not being able to snap the ball? I mean, it was the best blocking the Cowboys had all game, maybe, on the referee. Yeah. Romo said it on Real Time. Prescott and the center have to know to get the referee the ball. Yes, that clearly is a mistake here. But this angle, 8 seconds left, and the play's over, and there's no ref on the screen. He's booking now, but it's far. It's 25 yards. He's blocked getting in, moves the ball twice as if he would know where the ball should go from 25 yards away. He has problems getting out of the line. It's all a mess up. Everything you just said about the Cowboys' mistakes, 1,000% true. But Pablo, can the NFL and NFL fans feel good that this game ended with the speed of the referee running to touch a ball factoring into it?
I mean, Tony, no sport alchemizes total incompetence into entertainment better than the NFL. This is what the end of the game was. I would say that arguing about the rules of where the umpire has to stand because of player safety changes, which happened a couple years ago, now they're behind the offensive line and it's supposed to end the defensive backfield. All of that is kind of like arguing about rules on this show, right? You may object to them, you may not understand them, but guess what? You knew them going in. And therefore, it's on you if you don't understand that, yes, unpredictability is baked into the whole game.
Kevin Blackstone, any part of you wondering, well, I mean, the referee, if he was closer, they could have a shot here.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that, but primarily because it had happened earlier in the game. So to have it happen twice in a game was remarkable. And I didn't really understand what was going on myself until afterward you hear the explanation about the umpire having to touch the ball. And then you start to think about it. And I think, you know what, that's why players always run around in a situation similar to this and look for an umpire to give the ball to get it spotted and get everybody in line. But once again, you got to question the preparation. If they have practiced this play every weekend over the course of the season and can't get it right now, that's on them.
Well, you know, I actually know all the rules to this show, Pablo, but I also know that bragging about that isn't going to get me any points.
Oh, you're
so I'm just going to back off of that. Look, I refuse to allow sort of a rule that it's almost as if, you know, it's almost as if two more seconds would have been helpful, right? The 16-second magical number. All this is sort of baked into this whole thing. Like, we're not going to change the rules because one referee looked slow in a situation where, yeah, that team should have had two more seconds.
No, the referee didn't even look slow. It was booking, but it was a greater distance than... Let me say it this way, Sarah Spade. No other sport, I mean, is the clock running when a referee has to touch the ball, right? I mean, that's not happening in the NBA where you don't get a last shot because the referee was in the... Just thinking of it that way, is there any part of you who was like, oh, that wasn't satisfying?
No.
Okay.
I reiterate, watch the play again. One of the Cowboys players is walking back and isn't set when the referee does get there and is trying to get through Dak and the center, who should already know that they were supposed to pick up the ball and hand it to him. And again, we're lined up in the wrong spot, and he actually was doing them a favor by not backing them up even more because he wanted to make sure the play got done expeditiously. This is like all of a sudden complaining because you can't catch a pop-up in baseball because there's an ump behind me. I'm the catcher. I need it, but there was a guy behind me. He's always been there, just like this. All game long in the history of football, you've had to give the ball to the official. Let's change it now because the Cowboys lost.
Flames on the side of her face. Flames, flames.
Smoking.
Cowboys fans, they threw garbage on the field over this, all right? Some even hit Cowboys players or were in the, you know, close to hitting Cowboys players. Here's Dak Prescott on that.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah, they were.
Credit to them then.
That's what I'm saying.
The absolute failure here that became this Dallas season, it was Super Bowl or bust. It busted Kevin Blackstone. How much of it do you think it lands on Dak Prescott?
Well, I'm sure some of it will land on Dak Prescott. He didn't have a great game. And obviously that last play is going to be cemented in Cowboys memory forever. But let's also talk about what we've been talking about, and that's the preparation of this team. This team led the NFL in penalties this past year. So what happened in this game didn't haunt them. That's their present. That's their current. That is the kind of team that they are. They cost themselves victories. 31 points per game is what they scored this year, best in the league. 17 they put up on their home field yesterday. That's on who? Maybe Mike McCarthy. How about Kellen Moore, who has been glorified as a brilliant offensive strategist in this game? I think you got to look at the guys who are organizing the players, not just the players.
Israel Gutierrez, how much of this is on Dak Prescott?
Yeah, I can't look at this season or even this game and say, hey, this is all on Dak. I mean, you look back at the hiring of Mike McCarthy, and a lot of people had question marks about that. And I think especially in this one game, if it encapsulates their season, yes, all the penalties and the late game mistakes and the time management issues, I think is way more of an issue than Dak Prescott. He wasn't the same player since the injury in the middle of the season, but I don't think that this is the guy you're going to get for the rest of his career.
He can be back to the 12 touchdowns and no picks. He comes out here, Sarah Spain. He was just over 50% completion percentage. How much is on Dak?
Yeah. Well, because it's coaching, because it's discipline, and you cannot separate Dak's performance from the performance of his line, and that includes all the pre-snap penalties, which is why it's especially funny that the last play of the game would require 100% perfect execution.
Yes, you've established you don't agree with the play call. Okay.
I'm just saying, though, that's what's especially funny about it. We can't honestly separate Dak's performance from the fact that the stunts run by the Niners were absolutely disrupting that offensive line all game, and it was making it really hard for them just to get a playoff, not to mention a 50.
Pablo?
Yeah, look, KB said that Dak was not great. Let me translate that because KB is very polite. Dak Prescott was terrible, okay? Like, he was very bad in this game, and I know he is the best available quarterback for this team. They should have signed him to that contract. I'm not saying anything about the deal that he made, $40 million, all deserved. But clearly the ceiling on Dak Prescott is lower than I thought heading into this game, and that's my absolute change of mind because I saw him really soil his bed in the biggest possible moment.
Through it all, the 49ers getting the win, showing some of the hammer they had in that Super Bowl run years ago, but also going sideways and backwards. Late game, Garoppolo misses and Garoppolo interception. Israel, you find yourself thinking San Francisco is more dangerous or less by the end of it?
I want to say more dangerous by the end of it, but then Jimmy Garoppolo throws that pick, you know, with 3 minutes left in the fourth, 9 minutes left in the game. And so I don't think that they're more dangerous because it's going to come down to that. I think George Kittle and Deebo Samuel and that running attack can be offensively, can give another team nightmares, but I just think it's too much on Garoppolo against higher competition. Probably not that.
Yeah,
dangerous.
I think the risk of bad Jimmy showing up is always going to be an issue. But they got out strong. They used the run game defensively. The stunts absolutely threw the Cowboys' offense off. So I think you add all that together. I think with coaching, they actually have a good shot to still be really effective.
They are more dangerous to me because what they do on first and second down is so uniquely special. All the motion that they run. Okay. It's third down. It's what happens if they get behind in the game and they begin to struggle. But for me, give me the Shanahan mind in terms of running that offense.
KB.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think so. I'm still a little bit nervous if I'm a 49ers fan watching Garoppolo when you really needed him, threw the pick. Then the other time, 3rd and 11, had a wide open receiver, overthrew him, and they got jittery. So I'm not a 49ers buyer right now.
Look at those scores. Bringing the heat. show Nickelodeon how to do a thing or two here with some flame. Fire Cell next.
Slime does feel flammable, incidentally.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
They expand the playoffs for a whole lot of blowouts. What Buffalo did to New England, just systematic, automatic. Belichick has never looked like that. Actually, he's looked like that, but he's never looked like that in a loss. Sarah, you had that absolutely right. Israel, I think you had that one right. The one game that was close had the inadvertent whistle and the fourth down pass and the triple coverage short of the end zone, with the two best receivers running curls nowhere near that. We just talked about Dallas's play call. What were the Raiders doing there? Was that as egregious? But that's how the Bengals get their first playoff win in 30 years. But the whistle, one more time. Show it full speed and then we'll freeze it when we hear the whistle. League rule. Like before, ref has to touch a ball. League rule here, a whistle means a play is dead. That play had 0.2 seconds from when we hear a whistle on film to the catch. The whistle was blown incorrectly because Burrow was in, but was blown in trying to protect Burrow, which is another thing you have to consider. Sarah Spain, I ask again, what was this?
Yeah. If you're curious about whether I got it right, just know that I was 5-0 in my picks, so you won't have to think.
Okay, yes. Self-promotion.
I know. Self-promotion is the
mating call, the mute button. Yeah,
got it. So in this case, this was absolutely the wrong call, regardless of whether you think that that touchdown would have happened with the whistle or not, and whether there was someone in position to stop him from that reception. It is by the rule that this, if there's an erroneous whistle, you have to replay the down. So after the game, when they said, well, we thought the whistle came before the catch, which it didn't. It came before and we all heard it. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They still should have redone the play. So it's terrible.
Israel Gutierrez?
I'm in agreement that it should have been called dead. But then if you sort of replay that for the rest of the world and say, hey, nothing would have changed in all likelihood, you bring a little bit of subjectivity into it and you're just like, okay, I think we would let that go. But that's not the rule. The rule is a whistle ends the play, so you've got to go ahead and do that. No surprise they're not going to be playing or not going to be refereeing down the road.
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, I mean, they should have corrected that immediately. Terry McCauley, who was the official doing the broadcast, explained it succinctly and said exactly what should have happened. That was a whistle that came before the play, and therefore you do the play over again. It was dead. Why they did what they did is beyond
Pablo Torre.
But the lack of immediacy is what was so confusing about all of this, why I felt like I was being gaslit watching football, because not even the announcers, let alone the people in big central nervous system, pointed out that we all heard a whistle. Just have someone with the internet around near you to tell you, hey, there was a whistle. Everyone's talking about it. You should probably
even though it was just 0.2 seconds from whistle to touch, and even though the defender wasn't going to be able to make the play if he in fact stopped because of the whistle, may have stopped because he thought Burrow was out. You're all in agreement. That play should never have happened. With that, do the Raiders have beef, Pablo Torre?
They do. I mean, they were probably going to lose the game for other Raider reasons, but yes, on that play, they should have beef.
Kevin Blackstone?
No, they don't have beef. That was absolutely one play at the game.
Let's move on, because I want to talk about who looked best this weekend. Every year, we fall in love with teams who look amazing in the first weekend. But, I mean, what Tampa did to Philly, how Mahomes did it to the Steelers, we all expected that. This game here with the Buffalo Bills just rolling New England, the likes of which we've never seen before in a Belichick game. Israel, I'm going to ask you flat out, who looked best this weekend?
Well, I was going to take the Bills until I learned that Josh Allen's first touchdown pass was an accident. He was trying to throw it away. So I'm going to go against the grain here and say it was the Chiefs, who went from being down 7-0 to being up 35-7 in 9 minutes of football. It was absolutely insane. We've seen the Chiefs do that before, and if they can sort of become that again, man, that's scaring everybody.
Kevin Blackstone, was it Kansas City for you, the most impressive team?
Oh, no, it was the Bills. Come on, that was a beatdown. 33-3 at one point. I'm looking for something to do. Josh Allen missed on four passes. They turned Singleton into a touchdown machine, and they absolutely throttled those guys on defense. That offensive line that they have is absolutely
Pablo Torre, most impressive this weekend?
Josh Allen, Tony, I think had the greatest offensive game in NFL history. He had 5 touchdowns, 4 incompletions, and particularly traumatic to Sarah Spain. Turned Mitch Trubisky into a human victory cigar, sending him out to meal. So that his record was unblemished. 7 drives, 7 touchdowns against the greatest defensive coach you've ever seen, by the way. So yeah, give me Josh Sarah Allen Spain. In this conversation.
And that's it. It's not just the game, it's the competition. We went in expecting this from the Chiefs and the Bucks. A lot of people picked the Pats because of Belichick, because of the lack of balance from the Bills, because people were concerned about the win-loss record despite most of the statistics telling them they were a better team than last year. But to go out there and do that perfectly, I think highest QBR ever, if you listen to the ESPN Daily podcast, that was impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm gonna give the ESPN Daily podcast. Israel.
Playoff QBR.
Oh, they didn't turn the ball over on downs. They didn't turn the ball over on the field. They didn't punt the ball. They didn't kick a field goal
the
whole game.
Let's make for a better show. I'm just going to say the same thing the other 3 people said. How about
that?
Well,
you went first. You didn't even know what they were going to say. Pablo Torre, Sarah Spade. Showdown in 2 minutes. How do you possibly follow up this weekend? Well, Cardinals-Rams will try tonight. Trilogy. Arizona won that first game. Kind of blew the doors off of L.A. L.A. took the second in the division, which gave them home field, which has Kelly Stafford pleading with L.A. citizens not to sell tickets to rabid Cardinals fans. You know all about Kyler Murray's first playoff appearance and Matthew Stafford's history of playoff appearances. Pablo, I'm looking for the number one thing that decides tonight.
It has to be Stafford's interceptions, Tony. Like, this is a guy that went all in on when he throws 0 interceptions. When he's a clean sheet, they are 6-0, the Rams are. When he throws at least 1, they are 6-5. Sometimes it's as simple as the quarterback you got actually doing his job.
Yeah, it's both quarterbacks, though, because Stafford, his team's 9-0 when he has a 100 passer rating or better, 3-5 when it's worse than 100. On the other side, Kyler Murray, 17 touchdowns the first 7 weeks when they looked great, just 7 in the last 6 weeks as they've struggled. It's about which quarterback plays better.
Nobody said who you got. Let me hear it. Let me hear the music in it. Say it quick.
I got the Rams.
I have the Rams.
Pablo Torre. Sarah Spain, it's been a joy today. Pablo's got the FaceTime.
Okay. So if you watched that Bills game, you may have missed something if you were not actually on the internet at the same time. Because one person who's very dear to my heart showed up shirtless in the stands, Ryan Fitzpatrick, a member of the Washington football team, suddenly the Bills' number one shirtless super fan, is the greatest development of the postseason to me.
It's amazing. But not as impressive as what Kansas City did, right, Israel? That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.